How can schools today better prepare students for the jobs of tomorrow? That's a question educators across the state face as they shape their philosophies and curricula. Some school districts there have seen the effects of deindustrialization up close and say they're giving this question extra attention. As part of Keystone Crossroads' ongoing series, education reporter Kevin McCrory reports on one school in rural western Pennsylvania that's considered to be on the vanguard of the personalized learning movement.
When Titusville's Becky Southwick dropped out of high school, she was pregnant, overwhelmed by things going on in her personal life, and disconnected from anything happening in her classes.
I had dropped out of my senior year. I had like 3 or 4 months left, and I just had a lot of things going on.
Now 43, she's been diligently working on her GED, hoping to set an example for her 4 kids by one day becoming a registered nurse.
Not letting them see their mother be a failure or just stopping and just because life gets difficult.
Southwick grew up in a tumultuous time for western Pennsylvania, with factories closing, industries leaving, and population steadily diminishing. Today, despite some encouraging signs of development, the region is still grappling with the aftermath of this reality.
Unfortunately, due to declining business and industry, our poverty level has risen.
School Superintendent Karen Jez says this makes it especially important for the district to find ways to keep students engaged in school. The backdrop to this is that today's students are growing up amidst a drug crisis. In rural Crawford County, like in much of the state, it's not uncommon for students to see their parents, aunts, uncles, or older siblings struggling with addiction. Parent Sarah Muir used to be an occupational therapist, and what she saw on home visits in the area pushed her and her husband to become foster and then adoptive parents.
So I see that end of it, of kids being neglected. You can see it as a culture that's the kids are suffering.
In thinking about all these factors, Jez pushed the school district last year to pilot a pretty radical new theory of education in one of its schools. It's specifically designed to meet students where they are and make them more creative and collaborative thinkers. Lisa Royek is principal of Hydetown Elementary, Titusville's poorest.
When we put them into an industrialized model and they get frustrated every year of school more and more, that's when they drop out, and then they're stuck in this, you know, they don't have any 21st century skills to escape.
That industrialized model she mentioned is what people typically think of as normal school. Students sitting in straight rows, following directions from a teacher at the front of the room, and learning the same material in large cohorts arbitrarily grouped by age. Royek says that's just not going to work anymore, and it's an especially bitter pill for a region that's seen up close the rise and fall of industry.
All the research behind this says that employers now aren't looking for people who can push the same button. They need problem solvers and collaborators and kids who can think outside the box.
So what exactly does this new type of school look like?
So what it is we don't have grades anymore. We group kids by where they fall skill-wise, not by ability, and it's very important that you emphasize that. So it's not like the old school, oh, you're low, medium, and high. It's by where they are on skill continuums.
In education jargon, it's called mass customized learning, or MCL. At Hydetown, some of the traditional notions of school have been thrown out the window. What counts as a classroom is a fluid idea, with classes happening in places like the cafeteria.
We use every space in this building. Yep, yeah, absolutely.
Everything is student-centered, so students work at their own pace and can only move on after proving mastery of a skill.
Oh, you did it again! You're going backwards! So go back and figure out what your mistake is. I'll check in with you later, okay?
And teachers are less siloed and called instead learning facilitators.
It used to be you could teach the chapter in the book and say, well, I taught it. They didn't get it. I have to keep moving. So now they have to say, I have to figure out how to get them to get it. Like, this isn't a choice anymore.
Students like Brianna Nichols say they love the added flexibility and the use of technology.
Because it's actually helping me learn more instead of, like, if we have to be on the right track, we can just work at our own pace.
Hightown's model is part of a recent trend in education that puts a high priority on personalized learning, spurred in part by thinkers like Ken Robinson, whose 2006 TED Talk was viewed almost 50 million times.
If you think of it, the whole system of public education around the world is a protracted process of university entrance. And the consequence is that many highly talented, brilliant, creative people think they're not. because the thing they were good at school wasn't valued or was actually stigmatized.
Several other districts in Pennsylvania have implemented MCL, but what's happening at Hightown is considered to be on the vanguard. In general, skeptics fear the idea is being implemented too quickly, without a solid basis in research to prove its effectiveness. What if the lack of traditional school structure actually does a disservice to students? At Hightown, the first year of the pilot program brought standardized test results that aren't too flattering. Fewer students were deemed advanced or proficient in math and science, and more students fell to the lowest below basic level in math and English. Proponents say standardized tests are not a great gauge for this model. In a follow-up interview, Superintendent Jez says she's willing to give Hightown a few more years before worrying too much.
1 year of it really is no way to judge it based on PSSA scores, because that was 1 year of implementation.
Principal Royek believes that her students will be ahead of the curve for the digital interfacing jobs of tomorrow, ones she hopes may just revitalize a region struggling to find its economic footing.
These kids could grow up and have a job, a really good paying job, and stay here in Titusville, but they have to have the skills to do that. It's no longer go to the factory. Now you have to take your skills via technology out there. It's getting them prepared for that.
Kevin McCrory, Keystone Crossroads.